All right, so Matt, yesterday, Michael decided he was going to pick his nose, and he wiped it on me. He said it was funny. I told him it was snot.
Oh, man.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Good. So before we get into it, we'll say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting if you're thinking about starting one. We have some tips and tricks there over on podbelly.com. We also want to thank tonight's sponsor, Claritin, and we will talk more about Claritin coming up in the episode. And while you're on the internet doing your stuff, go check out our sponsors. By you checking out our sponsors and helping us out by ordering something using our code and all that stuff, it helps bring the sponsors back to Graveyard Tales, and it keeps them supporting us, and you get you a discount on some pretty cool stuff. So check out our URL links in the show notes. If you go in there, you've got a link to the sponsors site with our specific URL, plus if there's a code, we put it in the show notes as well. Also share the show, you know, grab your favorite episode and share it. You're more than welcome to cut a piece of audio out. If you want to share the intro joke, cut that audio out and share it. You know, Matt and I do not care. Throw it on your TikTok, whatever, share it. You know, just to bring more people into the graveyard, talk to your friends about it. You know, we don't say it as often as we used to, but word of mouth and you sharing it on social media really helps grow the graveyard. And Matt and I want to reach as many people as we can.
That's right. We got important stuff to say.
Right, right. And we started putting video out on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on a podcatcher and you're like, what do these ding dongs look like? Whose voice is whose? I'm so confused. Is it the one that always wears the hat? Is it the guy with no hair? Which one is it? Whose voice is whose? Go over to YouTube, like our page, go over there and check us out. Now, our older videos, just audio, but we started putting actual video of us recording this. I'm waving at you guys right now. As we're recording it, you know, up on YouTube, so you can check us out. We figured, hey, it's a video platform. Why not put the video out on YouTube? It's
right, yeah.
Genius idea, Matt.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? You talk about the guy with no hair. I heard Dave Attell today say, apparently, you know, one of the requirements to have a podcast is you have to have a shaved head and a beard. You know? I was like, hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, I guess there has to be a dress code for one of the hosts.
That's right. You know?
We're lucky that we've got two, so we can fit into multiple categories. You know, you've got the shaved head and a beard, and I'm the idiot with the camo hat. I don't know. whatever niche I fill. I don't know.
Yeah. The dude wearing the hat.
Yeah, the dude with the hat. You know that guy. Yeah. That dude with the hat from that one podcast.
So, y'all ought to see how many different hats Adam wears doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, eventually you're going to be like, let's see this hat collection.
Yeah, I may actually have to do that, but Ashley might be embarrassed for me to show how many hats I actually have. So
it's not just, I got a lot of hats.
Yeah.
But Adam wears all of his.
I do, yeah. And I've got a thing, I'll tell you this. It's a dirty little secret, but I am so anal retentive about my hats that I have a hat carrying case. It's hat luggage.
I was just fixing to say, I saw one this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, seriously?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the sales guy was like, yeah, man. He said, you know, as much as what hats cost these days, you know, if you're going to travel, you know, you throw it in a suitcase, you know, it's going to get ruined.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, I guess.
That's exactly it. I'm very particular about the way my hat fits. I don't want the brim messed up. You know, I don't want the crown messed up. I don't want it dirty. So I have a little carrying case, hard shell carrying case that I can carry 5 hats or so total in there if I want to. And I'll throw 3-4 hats in there if we're going to go on vacation. And Ashley's like, do you really need that many hats? I said, well, I don't know what the dress is going to, you know, require here. I might need an all black hat. I might need a camo hat. She's like, no, you don't, but whatever. But yeah, I Scotch guard all my hats so that they don't get stained. I have a fancy thing on the inside of them, a no sweat hat band, which hashtag not a sponsor, but I wish they were. It keeps you from getting the sweat lines on your hat. So if you need any hat care tips, hit me up. I'm more than happy to share. But on the note of what the title of this episode is, Matt, why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
So tonight, Adam and I are going to look at a haunted hotel deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas. Yes.
Yeah.
He did it.
So anyway, whenever, you know, somebody mentions San Antonio, you know, I always think about the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about Pee-wee's Big Adventure and that the Alamo doesn't have a basement.
Yeah.
You know, so that, I mean, I've not ever been to the Alamo. I've been to San Antonio, but I've never been to the Alamo. But I know it doesn't have a basement.
You know what I always think of when I think of San Antonio? The Alamo, the boardwalk, and Ozzy peeing on the Alamo.
I remember that.
Yep. Yep.
So we're going to look at a haunted hotel that was built in like the late 1850s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really old. And when you look at the history of this place, you're going to go, yeah, I can see why this is a super haunted hotel, which is right. What people consider multiple spirits supposedly reside there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at the Manger Hotel in San Antonio, Texas.
Yep. And you may hear us. Matt and I were having this discussion before the mics heated up, but we've heard several different ways of pronouncing this. And one of them sounds dirty to me, so I don't want to say that.
He means dirty like physically dirty.
Yeah.
Like a gross word.
Yeah. It does. So we're going to call it like the Manger or the Minger or something like that. We're going to use that pronunciation of the G and not the J pronunciation of the G, if that makes sense. Like the GIF JIF argument here.
That's right. Yeah.
It's GIF, by the way, graphic. It's not graphic interfacing. Anyway, as we always say, go check our sources down in the bottom of the show notes. Like how I just fly past that. So I can't That's get right. any hate there. Down at the bottom of our show notes, we put our links to our sources so you can find where we found all this information. And there is a lot of information. There is, like Matt said, this hotel was started in the 1800s. So obviously there is a lot of history. So I probably don't cover half of it. And some of the stuff I do cover, I can't go into full depth on it. So if you want to go deep dive, go down in the bottom of our show notes and find a link and go travel. It'll be fun. Now, the Manger Hotel sits at 204 Alamo Plaza in San Antonio, Texas. So it sits beside the Alamo and very close to the Riverwalk. So you know there has been a lot of history take place in this area. I mean, just the land that it sits on.
Right. Yeah.
Has a ton of history.
I mean, we've talked about haunted battle sites before.
Mm-hmm.
So why would this be any different?
Right. Right. Exactly. And the area that the hotel actually sits on was part of the site of the Battle of the Alamo. So, you know, we'll briefly go into that. If for some reason you don't know what the Battle of the Alamo was, it was one of the bloodiest battles in Texas's history. And it was a battle that was part of the war to win Texas's freedom from Mexico. Now, in February of 1836, Mexican General Santa Anna marched his troops to the Alamo Mission intent on stamping out the rebellion. They arrived with nearly 4,000 soldiers. Despite the odds stacked against them, the Texians and the Tejanos gathered together to fight. They held out for 13 days, and the commanding officer, William Travis, sent missives to other Texas communities for aid and was rewarded when 32 volunteers arrived at the Alamo. But then the number tipped more toward 200. So he was happy to get the 32, but then he ended up getting 200 volunteers, and some of them came from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Volunteer State. Now, for days, the battle commenced, but on March 6, 1836, the Mexican soldiers rushed the compound. Santa Anna's troops sieged the church, busting the doors open with a cannon, and one by one, the Texian fighters and their supporters fell, including infamous James Bowie and Davy Crockett. Now, on the same land that the Minger Hotel is built, it's reported that all the men fighting for Texas's independence were killed. So imagine the amount of blood spilt, and then a hotel comes up here.
Yeah.
I don't see what could go wrong.
No, not at all.
Now, you have to do it. There's a lot of places that are built on battlegrounds that you may not even know was a battleground, because it could have been a battleground for, you know, from like the 1200s or something before any European came over to America, and lots of lives lost, and you'd build a house or a hotel there. So it happens. But when you know about it, and then you build a hotel there, you always probably have that in the back of your mind that, there was gallons of blood spilt here. I wonder if I should put a hotel here. I
wonder if there's any bad juju around here.
Yeah, exactly. which, just as a quick tidbit, Matt, I don't know if you've heard this, but have you heard the legend of the pink blue bonnet?
No, I can't say that I have.
Okay, so it's blue bonnet season here in Texas, and they've lasted longer than normal because we haven't got a real hard heat wave yet. But every now and then, amongst the blue bonnets, there will be a pink blue bonnet that comes up. The legend has it that the blood of our ancestors that fought for Texas's independence still runs through the soil of Texas, and every now and then, it gets sucked up into a blue bonnet and displayed to remind us of our ancestors' battle for our freedom.
Well, that's pretty cool.
So I thought that was cool. I remember hearing that years ago, but I totally forgot about it until this year I saw something. And I'm like, I have got to find a way to work that in. And this episode, I could work it in. So
yeah, perfect.
It was like I planned it and I didn't. Now, the Manger Hotel is the oldest continuously operating hotel west of the Mississippi. And the hotel was constructed 23 years after the fall of the Alamo. So that doesn't seem like a long time.
It's not.
You know, a couple decades, we'll put a hotel here. Now, since 1859, it's been called the Grand Dam of Alamo Plaza. So the hotel was opened by William Manger on February 1st of 1859 on the site of Manger's brewery, the first brewery in Texas. So it was considered the finest hotel west of the Mississippi, and because of that, many, many famous people have stayed there, including Sam Houston, General Robert Lee, Ulysses S. Grant, and President McKinley, Taft, Eisenhower, and Roosevelt. Babe Ruth and Mae West have also stayed here. So,
all right.
You know, this is, what, the second hotel we've talked about in Texas where a lot of famous people have come to?
That's right.
The last one was shaped like a capital E, but, you know, this one is not. Now, Manger was a German immigrant, and he came to San Antonio in the early 1840s, and he began operating a brewery on this site. And if you're not from Texas, you may not know this, but Texas has had a huge German population forever. And that's why we have a lot of German food. You know, we've got beer fests here. We've got, you know, the Schlitterbahn and all this. I mean, it's full of German history here. But the Texas beer industry was actually started by Germans. That's why so many of the best Texas beers are based on German lager. Scheinerbach, Ziegenbach, Lone Star Beer, they all resemble a German lager because the German immigrants started our beer industry. So
that's pretty interesting. I guess I didn't know that. Especially about the beer, because yeah, Scheinerbach has always been one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine too. If I have the option, Scheinerbach is the one I'm going for. If you want a slightly darker beer, but still a lager, but a slightly darker lager, get a Ziegenbach. I actually like those. Those are pretty good too. Now, too bad Luckenbach, Texas doesn't have a beer, because then there'd be a song about it or something. Drinking Luckenbach beer. All right. So in 1857, Manger decided that he wanted to build a hotel on the site so he could accommodate the patrons at his bar. It would allow the customers to stay longer and drink more because they could just go to his hotel and crash, and he would be getting their lodging money as well.
Yeah. What an idea.
Right. So he soon hired this local architect, John M. Freeze, to design the two-story cut stone building, and it had an abundance of classical detail. And it said that the interior of the hotel was actually even more impressive than the exterior. So go look up pictures if you hadn't seen it. It was an impressive building. His hotel was such a success that he almost immediately decided to build an addition between the hotel and his brewery. So he started construction on this in 1858, and it only took him to the following year to complete it. So he built a 40-room annex between the two buildings. So he's got his hotel, a space, and then his brewery, and then he decided, I need more rooms. Mm-hmm. So he built a 40-room annex between the two to add even more rooms to his hotel.
Yeah, that's a hotel owner right there. You know, that no vacancy and then people still coming. We need more rooms.
Yep.
We're turning away money.
Yep, exactly. And he got it done in less than a year, basically. So that was pushing it to do it. Now, they built a basement under the hotel that had 3-foot thick walls. And he used to use it as underground storage space, you know, and a space to chill his beer that he produced in the brewery. So not a bad idea. It's wine cellar. You can do that with beer, and it cools it. So you get a chilled beer out of it. And the hotel actually featured a tunnel that opened in the basement and ran between the hotel and the brewery. And he would take tour groups of select people through this tunnel to his adjacent brewery and give them tours of the brewery and let them have samples to taste. So if he liked you or you were important or something, you could take this secret underground passage over to the brewery and tour the brewery. Now, the manga received such attention that within 3 months of the grand opening, William and Mary began to sketch out a plan to expand the hotel. Mary is his wife. And what had started out as a 50-room hotel then became a hotel of 90 guest rooms, making it the largest hotel in the area. So the Civil War happened during this time, and it placed a heavy weight on business for the Mangers there. Now, the number of people coming to stay at the hotel slowed dramatically, which, I mean, that makes sense, right? You got right, Civil yeah. War going on. You're not going to have people vacationing and staying at this hotel. But it was so dramatic that William was forced to shut down the establishment, you know, for paying guests, that is. In an attempt to show their support for the war efforts, they decided to open the hotel's doors for the sick and wounded. So for the length of the war, the Manger was converted into a makeshift hospital for those who were sick or gravely wounded, and many passed away during this period that not able to get themselves back to health or the doctors get them back to health, so they passed away. And so many hotels and places were turned into field hospitals or hospitals of some kind during the Civil War. The Manger is no different, but Matt, we've talked about what kind of atmosphere does that bring upon a place?
Oh yeah.
Now, when the Civil War and Reconstruction were over, especially after the railroad arrived in 1877, the Manger became the best known hotel in the Southwest. It was praised for the cuisine offered in the colonial dining room, which included such specialties as wild game, mango ice cream, and snapper soup made from turtles caught in the San Antonio River.
Yuck.
they still make mango ice cream there.
Oh, well, so that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can still go get you some mango ice cream. I don't know if they make snapping turtle soup or not.
I thought that's what you were going to say. Like, they still make it? Ugh.
Yep. They still go catch it out of the San Antonio River. But they might pull the mangoes out of the San Antonio River. I don't know. Where do they? I don't know where they keep their mangoes.
Can you grow mangoes in Texas?
Yeah. Yeah, you can, but
it's hot enough. I mean,
it's hot enough, but the problem with any citrus, I learned this because I wanted a lemon and lime tree. You either have to really take care of them in the winter or just buy a new one every winter or every year, because we actually get frosts here and they can't take right. a frost. So you can grow it during the summer months and may get a yield. But if you don't cover it and really insulate it, you won't have it the next year. So they could probably grow it, but they would have to take a lot of care. But I bet they get it from Florida or something. Mm. Now, Manger actually died at the hotel in March of 1871. Now, his death was met with grieving from the entire city. But what caused his death is actually still a mystery today. Now, prior to his death, a local newspaper wrote, quote, "Our community can ill spare a gentleman of such public spirit, such enterprise, such generosity, and such wonderful energy," end quote. Now, Manger had grown terribly ill, but there was no autopsy that was done, so his death will always remain something of a mystery. Nobody knows exactly why he died, what he died from, but he passed away in 1871 at the hotel.
My thing is in 1871, people just died. You know, I mean, they just died.
Yeah.
They got sick and they died.
Well, in 1871, you know, your body probably just went, no, not cut out for this anymore, and just gave up.
I mean, it's gotta be some hard living. You know, I realized the guy owned a luxury hotel, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the common cold wouldn't take him out.
Right. That was luxury for the time. Mm-hmm. It's still the 1800s.
Right. So right. Yeah.
You have to be a certain breed of hard to have lived through anything prior to central heat and air. You know? Exactly right. Especially in southern Texas.
I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have made it. No. I'd have been like, geez, it's hot.
Yep.
You know?
You find ways to deal. We've had our AC go out here a couple years. And I tell you, Matt, the first time it did it, we have hardwood floors downstairs. You know, they put a wax sealant on hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
That whole wax melted the first time our AC went out because it got so hot in the house, it melted the wax sealant on the floor. So, yeah. And we're North Texas. We're not in Southern Texas. So,
I mean, I had a friend that lived in Brownsville. You know, and that's like,
yeah,
it's almost Mexico.
Yep, basically. Yep.
I mean, you know, it's like, Mexico's right over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about hot.
You could see it probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, his air conditioner was set on like 85.
And it felt like the Arctic in there, didn't it?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's like, well, yeah, when it's 110, 85 feels pretty good. Like,
yeah,
I guess it's all relative.
Well, and it's always running at that temperature too. So if it's like 120 outside or something, set it for 80 something in the house, it's going to always be running. It's never going to shut off. Yeah. So it'll stay cold. Now, Manger's widow and son ended up taking over management of his properties. And despite Menger's death, Mary refused to give up. And right after her husband's passing, she was quick to say, and actually she put it in an ad in the local newspaper, and she gave notice assuring locals that William's death, quote, would cause no change in affairs, end quote, with the brewery or hotel. And it's true. She didn't allow the death of her husband to affect the business at all. So she didn't miss a beat. She kept it going and kept it producing what it produced. And in 1 year alone, Mary welcomed 2,000 guests to the hotel with an expansion of trains and a depot station being laid out in San Antonio. The Manger Hotel went on to even bigger heights. And by the 1870s, she decided to add lush modern technology and outfitted the entire hotel with its own gas source.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Now, about this time, in the 1890s, Teddy Roosevelt actually recruited his Rough Riders in the hotel bar. And I don't know if you don't know what the Rough Riders are, they were formed during the war with Spain in 1898. And the 1st New Mexico Cavalry entered federal service as the 2nd Squadron, and they were known as the Rough Riders. Well, Theodore Roosevelt conceived the idea of raising a cavalry regiment recruited from businessmen, cowboys, and outdoorsmen. And Roosevelt, who was a former New York National Guardsman, helped organize this and was appointed its lieutenant colonel. Well, after they trained, they landed in Cuba with no horses initially on June 22nd of 1898. And we've all heard of the Battle of San Juan Hill. Well, we have, if you're from Texas. I don't know how many other states actually talk about the Battle of San Juan Hill, but that was on July 1st. And the Rough Riders took part in that. They were under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Roosevelt, and they actually made their mark on military history. So they were ordered to seize Kettle Hill in support of this main attack, and they actually fought their way to the top despite enemy fire and captured that hill and went on to this battle actually went on to change the battle of the war with Spain. So they were a big deal, conceived of and recruited people in the Manger Hotel bar. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
I had to add that because
it's very cool. And we're going to talk more about that a little bit later when I get into the hauntings.
Right. Now, age was perhaps the only thing that put a damper on Mary's business prowess, because her son ended up rejecting the idea of inheriting the hotel. So when she got too old to be able to do it, she sold the property to the original contractor of the manger, Major J.H. Campman. I don't know why that was hard for me to say, but the Manger Hotel sold in 1881 for $118,500, which in today's money is $2.8 million. So Campman also purchased all of the exterior furnishings for another $8,500, which is $203,000 today. So in reality, he probably got it for a steal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Considering what they could make. Now, under Campman's management, a new bar was installed, and it became one of the most elegant of its day, and it was almost identical to the bar at the House of Lords Club in London. So he's trying to fancify it even more. It had a cherry wood bar, matching cherry wood ceiling and French mirrors. So it was like this, you walk in and go, holy cow, that's extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a fire that happened. And when the reports actually came out in the newspaper on October 15th of 1924, the headlines read, "Flames Rout Manger Guests, $15 million oil exploding." So although the oil exploding was not responsible for the fire, the conflagration did occur, and it started in the kitchen in the hotel's new addition. The flames, you know, went up the walls and the ceiling. Wood would ultimately be Manger's downfall, because the fire leapt along the woodwork. So all this new wood that they put in, that actually ended up being the problem. It made the whole place heat up, the wood expanded because of the heat. And it ended up completely swallowing the entire third and fourth floors, because it kind of swelled and fell down into the chimney. Now, all of the guests were urged to evacuate the premises thanks to a night clerk. He realized that there was a fire in the middle of the night somehow. We don't know how he did, but he was running from room to room, and he was knocking on the doors and waking the guest and telling them to get out. Well, apparently one of the guests, they were so hysterical that they ended up pushing this poor guy down the stairs.
Just in now, a panic.
The guy who just saved his life, he just pushed him down the stairs in hysteria. Now, just so you know, the clerk was not seriously injured, which is good. I would hate for that to be his, you know, he's saving everybody and some jack wagon throws him down the stairs. Get out of my way. Now, it was not the 101 guest at the Manger who got hurt. Instead, the injuries came when the fire engine came down the road. Now, this fire engine heading to the fire at the Manger rammed into an oncoming streetcar, injuring the fireman. So A.J. Ashbrook and W.R. Boyd, who were operating the vehicle, and three people on the streetcar got injured. So one of the firemen was found, quote, unconscious under the wreckage, but there's no mention of his death in the records. So don't know if he died or not. Now, the Express actually recorded it as, quote, "Rarely have the firemen had to do battle with a more stubborn or spectacular fire," end quote. Apparently, the flames covered the whole block. As we know from old fires, everything's wood. Everything's flammable.
Right, yeah.
You know, if a fire started up in the 1800s or early 1900s, you could just imagine the whole city was probably going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just jumped from house to house, and they couldn't put it out in time and anything. But at the Manger Hotel, the original section of the hotel was actually spared heavy damage, which is good. It was only after the fire had burned for 45 minutes that the Houston Post wrote that, quote, the flames, which at first threatened the entire building, were brought under control. The lighting plant was put out of commission and guests are forced to grope their way to the exits in the darkness, end quote. But it was spared and it kept on, you know, housing guests and everything after they rebuilt and all that. And we've talked about the famous people that have stayed at the Manger.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, the most famous guest to stay at the Manger Hotel was a guy named Bill. Mr. Bill. Now, in the early 1900s, a fair performer did the unthinkable. He left the Manger without paying his bill. So it was like a dine and dash kind of thing, but it was a crash and dash. He crashed there one night and then left without paying his bill. Now, you know, it says you've got to wonder how desperate he was to avoid the payment, because in him leaving, he left his 750-pound bull alligator behind in the room.
Why did this guy have an alligator?
Well, he was a fair performer. That doesn't explain it.
I was going to say, what are you doing with the alligator?
Yeah, with a 750-pound alligator? Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know why you have it in your room. I also don't understand why you're sleeping with a nearly 1,000-pound alligator.
Yeah, I have a tendency to avoid sleeping in areas where I could be eaten.
Yeah, I was going to say I have a tendency to avoid sleeping with things that could kill me, but Ashley watches so many murder shows, she might actually be able to kill me and get away with it. So that would be a lie. But anyway, now instead of evicting the alligator off their grounds, management actually decided to name him Bill, and they allowed him free reign of the atrium. Sometimes they said if he was nice, they brought other alligators in so that Bill could have a friend around. So how many hotels do you know of that you go into the atrium and you got to dodge alligators? That doesn't even happen in Louisiana.
I know. Most of the time, alligators are persona non grata in hotels.
Right, right. Most of the time, if an alligator is walking toward the door, people are running, shutting the doors. They don't let it in. And hey, go play in the atrium.
And all of it, if he was being nice,
mm-hmm.
What was he doing when he wasn't nice?
Right, right. And what do you do to an alligator when it's not nice?
Yeah, I know. He's like chewing on a guest's leg, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bill, you're not being nice.
Put little Timmy down. Be nice today, Bill. Stop eating Timmy.
All right, shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Adam, this time of year is brutal for me.
Mm-hmm.
And living in Tennessee, it's even worse. You can see the pollen on the streets.
Yep.
When you come out of anywhere, your car looks almost yellowish green.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's awful. And my allergy symptoms flare up unbelievably.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't even go outside, but you know what? With Claritin D, I get to go back outside.
Right.
And all the sneezing and the watering eyes, the just itchy feeling inside your nose, it goes away when I take Claritin D. So if you're like me and you have these allergies and that just keeps you indoors, luckily for all of you like me who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
That's right. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medication and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, then it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter because you don't even need a prescription for it. And you can go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
Now, the Great Depression era did slow business for the hotel, but the 1940s saw a reemergence of the Manger's popularity. They did renovations, and they added on to the hotel by the new owners, the Moody family. And famous people once again returned to their favorite spot. This is when Mae West and Babe Ruth stayed there. Roy Rogers stayed there as well. And 13 of the U.S. presidents have stayed here. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Have a total of 13 presidents stay here. Now, the Manger was awarded a state historic marker in 1980. And in 1989, it received one of the highest praises for being a historical hotel by being listed on the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Now, the Manger has a Halloween party there for children, and it has an annual Christmas party for underprivileged children. So it deserves the accolades for the finest hotel west of the Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, with all of this history, you can understand that the Manger Hotel is probably haunted.
Yeah. Yep.
And not only is it haunted by a few ghosts,
just a couple.
It's estimated that it may be haunted by as many as 45 ghosts.
Good grief.
It depends on who you ask. It's kind of up for dispute. Sure. Some people say around 32, others are closer to 45. That's a lot of ghosts, okay?
Yeah, either way, it's a lot of ghosts.
And, you know, guests at the Manger have reported paranormal phenomena that just, it covers the gamut. Everything from witnessing beds actually levitate off the floor to hearing these strange rapping noises and even seeing translucent faces appear beside of their own when they're looking in a mirror. So like you're looking in a mirror and then all of a sudden there's another ghostly face looking in like it's leaning next to you. Like you're taking a selfie.
Dude, that could startle you so bad you might pee a little.
Oh yeah.
If you're sitting there like fixing your beard or brushing your teeth and all of a sudden this head just pops up right next to you.
Yeah.
I'd probably scream a little bit.
Yeah. The scent of cigar smoke, can be detected in non-smoking rooms. Mm. And the heavy doors in the hotel are often known to open without any source to actually push them open. You know, these big heavy doors, something heavier than a breeze would be able to push open. They just open on their own.
Yeah, that's crazy. You can see normal doors, like doors you have in your house, because a lot of times they're hollow or they're lightweight wood, but these old heavy doors, it takes a lot to move an old heavy door.
That's right. You got to get some momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked about Teddy Roosevelt being one of the more famous individuals that visited the Manger. His spirit may still be there. And even though 100 years have passed, many of the Rough Riders also are seen at the Manger. But the ghost of Teddy Roosevelt is one of the more frequently seen spirits, and he's usually seen and or heard at the bar. So when the staff close up at night, they've seen a man appear at the bar. He's kind of this translucent figure. He doesn't move. He's just kind of there. But when he appears, people have said it feels like they're being watched. And then they look down the bar and there's Teddy Roosevelt's ghost. Now, sometimes the ghost is quite vocal. And while he's seated at the bar, he's been known to yell out at workers and try to coerce them into conversation. And on rare occurrences, when staff have actually approached the apparition, he is said to start his recruiting tactics as though he's trying to get them to join the Rough Riders.
That's actually kind of cool.
I know. That's cool. You don't usually get an apparition that will speak. But for the most part, the staff say they're not afraid of Teddy. But there was one time that he spooked a staff member. This guy was a new employee, and he had been given the job to close the bar down at night. Now, he was almost finished, and he heard a sound behind him, and so he turned around, and he saw a man at the bar. Now, Teddy was doing his thing. He's just sitting there and staring off, but when he saw this, the new employee panicked, and so he was pretty scared, and he ran to the door to leave the bar, but then he realized that he had been locked in. So he started banging with his fists on the door, and they don't really know how long, but somebody finally heard him and went and let him out.
Oh, jeez.
Now, no way, they don't know really how long he was trapped in there, how long the ghost was in there with him, but they said he practically clawed the doors trying to get out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I believe it. If something trapped me in a room and was messing with me, I'd be trying to claw my way out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it said that employee refused to go back into the bar. I don't doubt it. And
I don't blame him.
And he quit not too long after that.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But they say that the ghost of Teddy Roosevelt is still making appearances even today.
Hmm.
Now, the next spirit that is frequently seen is that of Sally White. Now, Sally White was one of the Menger Hotel's most beloved staff members during the late 19th century. You know, she was a good lady. She was the sort of person that took pleasure in completing her duties as a chambermaid. She was very pleasant. She smiled all the time. So everybody just enjoyed being around Sally. Now, the problem was, is as happy as Sally looked, her home life wasn't that happy. And her common-law husband, a Mr. Harry Wheeler, was kind of a jealous fellow, and stories would circulate at the hotel that Wheeler was always jealous of any attention given to Sally. And his jealousy would bring about these arguments, some of them even happening there at the hotel. Now, on March 28th of 1876, Harry Wheeler's jealousy took a deadly turn. On the evening before, one of Harry and Sally's arguments had escalated. Wheeler turned on Sally and closed in on her so furious that he threatened to kill her. Now, panicked, Sally ran out from her husband to the local police station, and she begged the officers to help her. They agreed, and they let her stay at the courthouse for the remainder of the night. Now, an investigation of Wheeler and their house showed no signs of any weapons, which left the officers without any sort of leverage to arrest him and put him in jail. Now, early the next morning, Sally went back home to gather some items before heading to work at the Menger, and Harry had been waiting for her. And he had been waiting with a loaded pistol. Now, Sally ran. She ran out of the house, down the street, and trying to get away from Harry, but he followed. And he followed her down two blocks, and when he caught up to her, he grabbed her around the throat, and he unloaded all six shots. It says he shot her once in the lower abdomen, and when she squirmed out of his grasp, he fired again and shot her just to the left of her spine. Now, Sally White died 2 days later on one of the third level floors of the original part of the hotel. Okay. The part that's still there.
Yeah. Yep.
Harry Wheeler was never arrested for the murder of his common law wife. He went missing after the shooting, and no one is quite certain what happened to him. Now, Mary Menger and the other management at the hotel had loved Sally so much that they decided to fund Sally's funeral costs. The 1876 receipt can still be found in the lobby of the Menger Hotel, where they paid cash for Sally White. It said that the grave, they paid $25 and the coffin was $7.
Man.
Yeah. You can't get buried for that now.
No.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, y'all know we just had to bury my grandmother at the end of last year, and it was nowhere near that.
True enough.
It was way more than that.
Right, right. But that was still a good amount of money then.
Yeah.
And it was probably more money than Sally or any of her family would have had.
Sure. In 1876, yeah.
But today, Sally White's ghost is still seen frequently throughout the hotel, most often on the third floor where she passed away over 100 years ago. But it seems that even in death, Sally enjoys her work at the Menger because she is most often seen holding an armful of towels or sheets against her chest.
Oh, wow.
And Sally's presence is one most often reported by guests of the hotel. And if you ask the front desk, they'll tell you that they occasionally receive calls about a strange maid wearing an old-fashioned uniform who suddenly disappears and doesn't answer when spoken to. Now, on two different occasions, guests reported seeing Sally's ghost walk through a door or a wall as though the barrier wasn't even there. As always, her hands were full of sheets and towels. On the second occasion, the guest had just gotten out of the shower when she saw Sally's apparition folding sheets at the edge of her bed. Now, that'll get you.
Yeah. Sally's like, would you like a towel?
Yeah. So it scared her pretty good, and the guest ran downstairs to the front desk and told the concierge everything that she had seen.
Okay. Quick question. Did she get dressed?
It doesn't specify.
All right.
But I'm wanting to say probably not.
Yeah, the way it's worded, it sounds like she just screamed and took off running.
Right, right. So I think that's the gist of the story, is that it scared her so much that she just ran down there before she got dressed.
Yeah, grabbed a towel that Sally was folding and took off.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you're hoping that you get a chance to see Sally if you ever visit the Menger, make sure to book your room on the third floor of the original section of the hotel. It says, keep a lookout for a nearly translucent form wearing a maid's uniform with a scarf tied around her head and a necklace of beads.
Well, very specific. You know what you're looking for.
That's right. Because if you see another ghost, that may not be Sally.
Right.
And you'd be disappointed.
Yeah, if she doesn't have a scarf and beads, I mean, you're like, look, Teddy, I'm not here to see you. I came here to see Sally.
That's right.
Go get Sally.
Now, another notable spirit in the Menger Hotel is that of Captain Richard King. Now, originally from New York, Richard's poor Irish family lacked the funds to provide for their son. So, seeing no other opportunities, King's parents opted to sell young Richard as an indentured servant. Now, Richard despised his time with a jeweler in New York, and at the first opportunity, he escaped and stole away on a ferry destined for the Mississippi River. Now, Richard King would go on to be one of the most successful entrepreneurs of the 19th century in all of America.
That's great.
He founded a steamboat company and actually worked as a blockade runner during the Civil War. Now, after visiting Texas for the first time, King decided to buy land in Corpus Christi. And there he opened King Ranch, which would end up growing to a monstrous 1 million acres.
Yep.
So Richard King really was a king. I mean, he was a cattle baron.
Yeah. Yep.
He developed a love and appreciation for the Menger Hotel during his trips to San Antonio for business. In fact, he stayed so often that the hotel gave him his own private suite on the second floor.
Oh, wow. He was there a lot.
He was there quite a bit. And so when King grew deathly ill with stomach cancer, he actually requested to be brought to his private suite where he passed away on April 14th, 1885. So again, here was another fellow that died inside the hotel.
That's a weird request to me.
Yeah.
I would want to go on my property.
My big ranch.
Million acres. Yeah. I got a million acres. I don't want to go to San Antonio. I want to stay on my million acres and spend my last minutes here.
Yeah. But that just kind of tells you how much the Menger Hotel meant to him.
Yep.
Now, his funeral was actually held downstairs in the Menger's lobby, and it said that the celebration was the largest funeral procession seen in quite some time in San Antonio. So not only was he well-respected, he was well-liked.
Yeah, yep.
Now, much like Sally White, Richard King was not about to let death be the reason that he left the Menger. And since the time of his death, his ghost has been spotted at the Menger, most especially in his old private suite.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Now, today, the suite is known as the King Ranch Suite. And you can stay there on your next trip to San Antonio.
Probably not. I probably can't afford it.
Here's the catch. The bed in the suite is the same bed that King died on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They've changed the sheets. Okay.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
they have changed the sheets.
Did Sally change the sheets?
I don't know. But guests have reported all sort of phenomena inside the suite, especially the sense of being watched. One woman, could I say that any weirder?
Yeah, one woman.
One woman.
Womings?
One woman while sleeping was awoken to glance at the foot of her bed and see an apparition of Captain King watching her.
Creepy. That's,
you know, we've heard that before. You wake up and there's somebody standing at the end of your bed. Now, look, I don't know if it's happened to you, but when your kids walk into your room at night and just kind of stand there and something about your brain says, somebody is standing here, and you wake up and look, it will scare the absolute crap out of you.
Dude, yeah, I have almost punched Michael because he used to like to sneak down the hallway and sneak into our room and like be as quiet as he could until he got into the room. And the first time he did it, he just stood there, like you're saying, until we woke up and both Ashley and I, you know, you wake me up like that, I'm going to like throw a hand up, and he was close. I almost got him. And Ashley was like, you've got to make noise.
Yeah.
You know, don't just sneak in. So the next time he sneaks down the hallway, sneaks into the room and goes, "Hey," and both of us went, "Oh my God, Ginger." We're like, "No, you make noise coming out of your room."
Yeah. Shut your door.
Start down the hallway. Yeah. Start down the hallway, making noise. That way I know it's you. Cause Ashley told him, "Dadam's going to punch you in the face one day accidentally. If you sneak up on him like that, he's going to just throw a hand up and get you accidentally.
Make noise. Hey, that's worse. Oh my God.
More noise, different noise.
Oh God. Piper used to be the worst about it. She would just stand there and it would scare the, she could probably crawl into the bed and not wake me up. But boy, that just standing skills. Right there, give me a break.
So for some reason, you can hear that heavy breathing.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, if you wake up like that and you look and see a ghost, Lord. I mean,
yep.
It'd be over.
Well, and we've also talked about the apparitions watching women sleep. And I mean, to me, that's way creepier than if you said, watching a dude sleep, you know, for some reason, a dude apparition watching a lady sleep. It's like,
oh, I know,
dude, I would tell you to get a life, but that's over with.
That's right.
So get an afterlife. Or something.
Now, other guests have claimed to hear heavy footsteps walking around in the room. They've also heard the shutters on the windows open and close by themselves. Captain King's apparition has been spotted roaming the hallways on the second floor and then disappearing through doorways. But the strangest paranormal activity must be the dancing red orb that has only ever appeared in King's suite or just outside it. That is unusual because, you know, when you see orbs, it very rarely do you go, "That's a red orb." And then you see it often enough that you're able to associate it with a location.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time, you know how we are about orbs, you know, you see them on a video and you're like, it's dust, it's whatever. You know, you don't really notice an orb with your naked eye and then see it well enough to go, "Hey, it's red."
Yeah.
And other people to go, "Have you noticed you only see that red orb up there by the King Ranch suite?"
Right. I was going to say that to be associated with a specific area.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, "Oh yeah, this is the red orb hallway. This is the red orb suite."
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange. But there is so much activity in that suite that it is said that housekeepers will only go in there in pairs because of all the ghostly activity.
Well, I mean, you've got a man's literal deathbed.
Yeah, no joke.
Still being used. So I'm not surprised.
No, not at all.
That happens there.
Why don't you hang up the clothes he died in? Put them in the closet.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that he's now standing at the end of the bed going, "Why are you in my bed?" Because it was literally his bed.
That's right. It's just not where his bed was. It was his bed.
And it wasn't a typical hotel bed where a bunch of people stayed on it. That was his suite that nobody else stayed in.
Right. Yeah.
And now you're sleeping on that bed that was his, that he died in, and you're shocked. I mean, even I might do that. If I die in bed and somebody gets my bed, I may go, "What are you doing in my bed?" Like right in their ear every night.
I'm down and go,
"Get out of my bed.
Hey."
Yeah. How does that crease my butt made feel? Does your butt fit directly into my butt crease? Is it nice or is it weird?
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Is it weirder that I'm talking to you after death or that your butt is where my butt was?
Here's your fascination with butts tonight. I don't know what the deal is.
Everybody's got their thing.
Yeah. Now, the bar has a few other spirits. One is of a 1970s Playboy. As the story goes, a couple was in the bar late one night. And the husband was off to one side waiting for his wife. Then a gentleman dressed quite dapperly entered the bar and began to walk straight toward the husband's wife with his Playboy style, you know. The husband took notice of this man approaching his wife and intercepted the stranger. But before the husband could say anything, the man vanished right before his eyes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is the vanishing gentleman, as he has been.
Hugh Hefner looking dude walking up.
Yeah.
And yeah, crushed velour bathrobe and a pipe.
Looks like slippers. Master Thespian from Saturday Night Live, you know, little pixel yeah. thin mustache.
Mm-hmm. Comes walking up. How you doing?
Now, the vanishing gentleman was again spotted at the bar back in July of 2004. A woman tells of the encounter, saying there was no one in there but us. The bartender waited on us, and there was a man wearing a double knit suit, totally from like 70s.
Yeah.
He was drinking cognac, and he stared at us, and the bartender never acknowledged him. But then he just faded away right before their eyes.
That would be weird.
Yeah, so they apparently saw him, and either the bartender didn't see him or was just so used to seeing him that he ignored it.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just saying, I hope these other people don't notice him. But now, other than the glass, how would they know what he was drinking?
That's what I don't know, unless there was a spirit of a spirit there.
Oh, yeah.
A cognac
spirit,
bottle.
Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. How did they know he was drinking cognac?
Yeah. Now, I know, you know, cognac you put in a specific type of glass.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that was it.
But you could also put anything you wanted to in that glass.
Yeah, true enough.
So, I guess she was just associating it with the glass he was holding.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's like, it's a great cognac.
He
before
said,
he disappeared.
He said, give me another banana cognac. Now, the vanishing gentleman isn't the only spirit known to stir things up in the bar. It's reported that one evening, something threw an ashtray clear across the bar. Apparently, a spirit was jealous when a waitress favored conversation with a living person over its own spectral form.
Oh, geez.
So now you get jealous ghosts, and they get so yeah. jealous they throw a daggum ashtray?
Yeah.
You know how heavy an ashtray is?
Yeah, I'm gonna put you in spirit timeout if you don't settle down.
Yeah. This is not one of those little tinfoil ashtrays, you know.
Right. it's not the one you've got on your end table in college.
Yeah. No, this is like a big nice glass one. You know, just chunk it. If it had hit somebody, it'd have killed them.
Yeah.
Now, because of its proximity within San Antonio, the Menger Hotel has had its share of death and violence, murders and suicides. And it seems that a lot of those restless spirits are still hanging around the hotel. It's hard to know why. Maybe they're stuck. Their residual energy is left to kind of relive their last moments over and over again. But it's extraordinarily active. We've just talked about a few of the more well-known spirits. But, you know, the hauntings, just, you know, the random sightings, you know, the sounds and all that stuff. It's just so common. And that's why they believe that there are so many different spirits within the hotel. Now, in 1890, an Austin insurance agent showed up at the Menger, and he entered the bar room where Teddy Roosevelt's ghost has been seen. So this gentleman, H.H. Childers, went up to the bar, removed his six shooter from its holster, raised his arm, aimed, fired, and killed one Jim Draper, a San Antonio hack driver. At the trial, Childers was sentenced to 25 years, but on his appeal, the case was reversed and he was allowed a bond.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So a guy just walks in, shoots another guy, kills him at the bar.
Yeah, in front of people.
Yeah. So that's going to leave a mark. I mean, sure. It's bound to. Which, it kind of makes me wonder, this being built on part of the battlefield of the Alamo, if there's just so much energy right there, just in the land, that it somehow pulls these spirits in and causes them to be so active.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All the different apparitions, you know, apparitions that actually speak, you know, apparitions so solid that people think that it's another person coming to hit on their wife. I mean, you know,
so strong they can push heavy doors.
Right. I mean, it's got to have something to do with it. I mean, you just can't have that much energy there. And wind up with all these hauntings that seem to be so much stronger than other hotels that we've discussed.
Right, right.
Now, in 1903, a mail and key clerk was visiting San Antonio. Originally, he was from Kentucky, but at 26, he became quite ill and had been told that San Antonio might offer him what he needed, and so the clerk moved. But he didn't get any better, and the sickness must have been so bad that, seeing no other option, the clerk went to his room on the night of Monday, September 7th, 1903, and he took a knife and slit his own throat.
That's my birthday. Not 1903, but September 7th.
I was going to say, man, you look really good for your age, dude.
Thanks. I do what I can. Moisturizer.
Yeah, but like
skin routine.
Like I said, at the Menger, it seems that death by murder and suicide have only fueled more paranormal activity. And unsuspecting guests have reported seeing the ghosts of these unfortunate souls replay the last moment of their lives before these onlookers. So you're actually seeing the stone tape play out of somebody's suicide.
Mm-hmm. That would be so messed
up. I know. I mean, we've talked about a place where, you know, you'd see, somebody who hang themselves, you know, stuff like that. You know, this is what you're catching.
Yeah.
Now, there are other visible entities that have appeared at the bar as well. Both residual hauntings and intelligent hauntings. There is one residual haunting at the bar. One person claims to have seen two young boys dressed like extras from the set of Newsies. You remember that? Where the little English caps and the knickers and everything.
Oh,
like
yeah,
1920s
yeah.
Yep. Looking.
Yeah.
But as for intelligent hauntings, it is said that the keys to the liquor cabinets have been known to vanish from sight. Sometimes when people take photos in the bar, a little girl will appear in the background of their photos. I mean, it's just one right after another, after another, after another. If you want to visit a haunted hotel, put the Menger in San Antonio on your list. Okay.
For sure.
If you specifically want to see Sally, then go to the third floor. But if you want to see any of the other 44 spirits, just go there. You
know? Right.
It's apparently
we'll sleep on somebody's
everywhere.
Deathbed.
I mean, you know, the bar, you know, being a part of the original building, you know, it has a lot of activity. But I mean, this place really, I mean, 45 spirits. I mean, that's almost unheard
that's
of.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that's probably more at one location than we've talked about ever before.
Yeah, I would say so. If not, it's very close.
Besides like the battlegrounds and stuff we've talked about where you got a ton of people, but like one building.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like these asylums where there were thousands of people there over the course of the years. But yeah, for a hotel to have this many, it's really strange. But when you look at all the things surrounding that hotel, you know, murder and death, you know, suicide. And then on top of it, it's on a battleground of an extraordinarily bloody battle.
Yep.
And it was built only 23 years after that. So, I mean, there was a lot of energy in that ground that where you just started building on.
Yeah. It may have still been stained red.
It's possible. I mean, so, you know, we've got a lot of listeners in Texas. And I bet some of you have actually been to the Menger. If you have, we'd love to hear the stories. You know, if you've experienced anything, let us know about it. And one of the best places to do that is in our Facebook group. Get in there. I mean, we've got thousands of members that share these personal experiences. Like it's a private group. It's safe. No one's going to make fun of you. We just all want to hear these really great ghost stories. Check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show and you can become a patron. And we like to thank everyone who has donated their hard-earned money to the effort that Adam and I put into this show. We thank you so much. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. Remember, it helps bring more people into the graveyard. So, until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.